Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Chris Radio Presents. I am Sandy Murillo, and this is a production of Chicago Lighthouse Media, located here at the Chicago Lighthouse. Many of our longtime listeners might recall that about 2 years ago, we brought you information about an ongoing clinical trial researching a device that is best described as a form of artificial vision. Before we go into the topic, I do want to clarify that this is only a clinical trial and the project is still in its research phase. Joining us once again today are Dr. Philip Troik and Dr. Frank Lane, both from the Illinois Institute of Technology. They, along with the Chicago Lighthouse, Rush University, Johns Hopkins, among other institutions, are currently working on the research of this system. And Dr. Troik and Dr. Lane will be talking to us more about an upcoming virtual information session that will be on Tuesday, October 13th at 2 p.m. Dr. Troik and Dr. Lane, they're actually joining us virtually today as well. So welcome to you both, and thanks for being with us. Let's start off with some introductions. Can you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Thank you. I'm a professor of biomedical engineering at the Illinois Institute of Technology, and I'm also the executive director of the Pritzker Institute of Biomedical Science and Engineering at IIT. Dr. Lane, I'll let you introduce yourself.
My name is Frank Lane, and I am an associate professor of psychology and chair of psychology at Illinois Institute of Technology.
I understand that you both have been involved with this project for some years now.
Well, actually, it's been 20 years, but we're very excited to be here today talking to your listeners when we can finally discuss the upcoming recruitment that we're going to have to a clinical trial that will be starting for what's called the ICVP.
Now, at the beginning, as you heard, I introduced this as a device that can provide a type of artificial vision to individuals who are totally blind. But I think that that description, it doesn't do it justice, meaning that, you know, it's a very complex system, I should say. Could you tell us, what is the ICVP?
Well, ICVP is short, and it stands for the intracortical visual prosthesis, which is an electronic system whose purpose is to provide a type of artificial vision for people with blindness by communicating image information directly to the user's brain, bypassing the eyes and the optic nerve. The system has two basic parts. It has a part that's implanted into the recipient's brain, and a part that is on the outside of the body. The part that's implanted is a collection. It's not a single device. It's a collection of very small modules, each of which is about the size of a pencil eraser. And these small modules will be surgically implanted into the brain. The modules are called a wireless floating microelectrode arrays, or as we say, WFMA for short. And they each contain microscopic electrodes that penetrate the brain about a millimeter and stimulate the visual areas of the brain with information that comes from a camera that's mounted on glasses by the user. About 40 of these could be implanted on one side of the head in the vision area of the brain, which is just in the back of the head above the neck. If you kind of put your hand there and feel the size of your palm, that's about the size of the area.
Sure.
And the implanted WFMAs, they receive this image information over a wireless link. So no wires, no connections, nothing crosses the scalp. After the surgery, the scalp is completely closed. And with this wireless connection, we can talk to each of the implanted WFMAs and tell each of its 16 electrodes how to stimulate the brain. So we like to think that the WFMAs, which are fully implanted, act kind of like a miniature cell phone network in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And on the outside of the head, over the scalp, in the area where they're implanted, is a hockey puck-sized controller that sends the wireless image commands to the implanted WFMAs. So as the video camera that's on the glasses captures the images, the image information is wirelessly sent to the WFMAs through this little mini cell phone network that's in your head to stimulate the visual areas of the brain with the intention to communicate that vision information directly to the brain and create a type of artificial vision.
I know that a lot of listeners out there, you know, when individuals with vision loss or really any other condition hear about new research that's going on and new developments, you know, they always wonder, what can it do for them? As researchers, what are you hoping that this ICVP system will do for individuals who are blind?
Well, that's really a great question, Sandy. And we can't stress enough the importance that the device is experimental, and it's unclear whether or not the device will work. And if it does work, whether it's going to be useful for people who are blind. And if it does work, it's not going to be like normal vision. If you think about a device that children use called a Light Bright, mm-hmm. there's a pegboard, and you take little colored pegs and you put them in an outline, and you're able to see what that item is or what that object is. Another example that we can use would be a scoreboard at a baseball field, when the numbers themselves are lit up in an outline that allows you to see what the score is. And so this is what's been described by individuals with similar systems. It's important to know that we've been trying now for over 10 years to look at the perspectives of people who are blind, as well as individuals who have had similar systems. And with individuals that have had similar systems, they've described their ability to both recognize objects and to navigate with training, which is really significant. But again, the device is experimental, and it's designed to work with someone that has no light perception.
You were here on Chris Radio over 2 years ago. You were actually in the studio and you held an informational session here at the Lighthouse in 2018. Can you update us on the phase of the trial? I mean, what's been happening these past 2 years?
Well, what's been happening is our whole team, which is actually made of 8 institutions, has been working very, very hard to do all of what's called the preclinical safety testing and qualification that's needed in order to get approval for a project like this, specifically from the FDA. And we have now obtained that approval from the FDA and the National Institutes of Health to begin the clinical trial in 5 volunteers over a 3-year period. The project involves a team of very dedicated researchers from 8 different institutions, which includes the Illinois Institute of Technology, Rush University Medical Center, the Chicago Lighthouse, of course, and Johns Hopkins University. This project team is a very dedicated group of people, and it's been a pleasure to work with them for 20 years to make this ICVP technology now ready for testing in people. And the FDA has now approved the system for testing in what's called an early feasibility study, in which we just see to what extent might there be feasibility for it to provide some form of artificial vision. So it's important to be confident and know that extensive testing has been done, safety testing, and it's believed that the system is safe for starting the human trial. We're planning to have 5 volunteers who would receive versions of the ICVP system and then participate in testing of their system in a specially configured laboratory at the Chicago Lighthouse. The project is funded by the NIH under what's known as the BRAIN Initiative, mm-hmm. and we're very grateful for that support. The first year funding we have is about $2.5 million, and the expected funding over the next 3 years is about $6.5 million. So we have resources for carrying this out and for providing all of the support that's needed for the brave volunteers who will be putting themselves on the forefront here for testing. The surgery for implanting the WFMAs of the ICVP system will be done at Rush University Medical Center, which is pretty close to the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. So we're happy about that. And the testing of what the recipient of the system can visually perceive and how they might use it as a visual aid will be done at the Chicago Lighthouse. And we're really delighted to have the Chicago Lighthouse as one of our partners.
Yeah, and now you just covered, you know, about what those 5 participants can expect, you know, once they have been found eligible to be part of this research. But what is the criteria that you are looking for in a potential participant? I know we've mentioned a couple things throughout the interview, but just to make it clear to our listeners, what is the criteria?
You know, we've said that we don't know if or how the device is going to provide artificial vision. And the one thing that we certainly don't want to do is to jeopardize any residual vision that the individual might have. And so, like we said, the individual should have no light perception, but the individual should previously have had normal vision. And also that the individual can participate in the testing at the Chicago Lighthouse. The individual will have to come in 3 times a week for roughly 6 months, which is a pretty significant time commitment if you think about it. And so we want to make sure that individuals are understand and are willing to do that. And so in order to better understand, in addition to these criteria, individuals that have to go through a series of medical tests in order to make sure that the implantation of the device is safe and that the individual can safely undergo surgery. And the individual can also expect that there would be a recovery time of about 1 month prior to the testing of the device itself.
Now, changing gears a little bit, you know, COVID-19 came in 2020 and it has, you know, significantly affected literally everyone. And, you know, this study has been going on for quite a while, 20 years now. And how has this pandemic affected the timeline of this research? Has it affected it?
Well, we're all being affected by the pandemic in ways that we can all trade stories about. And interestingly enough for our project, because of the pandemic, many people had to not come to their place of work and stay at home, sure. Do things remotely. And it shifted responsibilities they had. So starting in about March, we had a huge amount of work to do in preparing documents and submitting documents to Rush Medical Center to get their local approval. And in that respect, the people had time to do that. So the pandemic, ironically, actually helped us to be able to have the availability of the people to do that. But now that we have the approved funding and the FDA approval to start going forward, we're not quite sure what's going to come in terms of how it will limit people getting together, how it might limit our testing sessions, the traveling of our volunteers to the lighthouse. So there, without doubt, there's going to be things that arise we can't anticipate, and it's going to be a challenge. And we're quite anticipating that it's going to add complications to what is already a very complicated study. But this won't be the first obstacle our project has faced. And when our volunteers join our team, we're sure that they will be up to the challenge, and we will be doing everything to assure medical safety, certainly from the COVID-19, but also, you know, to meet the challenges head on like we've done. And the volunteers that we will get in our team now will be the last and the latest addition to the team. And we really view them that way. We don't view anyone who's going to participate in this as what sometimes is called a human subject. We really view them as they're volunteers, they're participants in our team. And we like to think of them in the same way that that there was a team of astronauts that were then chosen to go on missions. And the astronauts told us things that nobody else could tell us because they were the first to go. And so COVID is just going to be one more challenge, and we will all meet that challenge. And with our new team members of our volunteers, we'll be very excited to see the new frontiers we're going to go to.
With or without COVID, you know, I think we're all learning that we all must move forward and go on. So speaking of moving forward, what's next in the research?
Well, now that we've received approval from the Food and Drug Administration and National Institutes of Health, as well as the Institutional Review Board at Rush, we're able to move forward and start recruiting for 5 volunteers. Now, unique to this project, Dr. Troik had mentioned, just like astronauts, these 5 volunteers are going to form a support group that will provides peer support to one another as they move through the project. And we think that this is something that's going to be important for the overall quality of life of the participants in the study. In terms of next steps, the Lighthouse is going to host a virtual education session on October the 13th. It will be virtual and over the internet because of COVID.
And that's the perfect segue into the topic of the virtual session itself, which once again, for those of you tuning in, the virtual session will be held on Tuesday, October 13th at 2 p.m. So who is this virtual session for? Is it for potential participants? Is it for their family? Is it for physicians? Who is it for?
It's for potential candidates. It's also for friends, family, any kind of referring professional who might consider referring a potential candidate to be screened. And then quite frankly, anyone who the individual would want to include as part of their decision-making who might benefit from some in-depth knowledge about the device and the process.
And what can participants expect from this session? What will be covered?
Well, they'll receive a description of the ICVP system, how it's expected to work, what will be involved for someone to participate in the trial, and what the eligibility criteria are.
As is to be expected, informational session participants will have questions after the session is over. Will there be a Q&A time?
Absolutely. We've learned through prior educational sessions that this is complex information and it takes time to process and completely understand the information. It's the reason why we have examples of prior educational sessions on the Chicago Lighthouse website. And there certainly is going to be plenty of time for individuals to ask questions, receive answers, and ask follow-up questions.
So for people that, you know, cannot make it on October 13th for whatever reason, will there be future informational sessions?
We don't have any specific dates currently set. However, individuals can go to, like I said, the Chicago Lighthouse website, and they can listen to the recording of the educational session at any point in time.
And I understand that previous information sessions are also available.
Yes, and if you go to the chicagolighthouse.org /ICVP, that is the website where you can find prior educational sessions and where this educational session on October 13th will also be posted.
How can people register, those that are interested in attending the session on October 13th? How can they register?
Well, they can call us at area code 312-567-5304. That's 312-567-5304, and leave a message for us, or they can send us an email at icvp@iit.edu. That's icvp@iit.edu.
Could you repeat the number and the email address again?
Absolutely. Area code 312-567-5304 and email address icvp@iit.edu.
Okay, and as we mentioned earlier, individuals can look back to the recorded sessions that were held 2 years ago here at the Lighthouse. And could you give us that website again?
Sure, that's chicagolighthouse.org/ICVP.
Well, this is all great information, and we are almost out of time, but is there any final thoughts or anything else you both would like to add?
Well, I just close and say that our team of people has been working on this project for 20 years, and the roots of the project actually go back to about 1970 when it was first conceived at the National Institutes of Health. And some of the people on our team are ones who were there at the very beginning. So this is a very exciting moment for our team, because we've been wanting to get to the point where we could have the approvals, we could have the funding, we could get to a recruitment phase. I'm sure that some of your listeners have heard about this project before and have thought, well, when is it actually coming? Well, it's coming, it's here. And now for us to be able to finally add to our team the brave volunteers who will now be able to help us assess whether this is feasible or not to provide artificial vision, it's a very gratifying time for all of us and all the dedicated researchers.
And here at the Lighthouse, we are thrilled to have the entire team, you know, partnering with us. So, and as always, it's great having you both here on the show, and hopefully one of these days we will all be able to, you know, meet in person again.
For sure.
Well, is there anything else, Dr. Lane?
You know, I think we've been partnering with the Chicago Lighthouse since the beginning here. We started 10 years ago holding focus groups at the Lighthouse to try to get the perspective of the end user of this technology. And I think, you know, our continued partnership with the Lighthouse just makes perfect sense. And we're so pleased that you all are partnering with us on this.
Likewise, and it's great to have you both here on Chris Radio. Thank you again for your time and for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Troik and Dr. Lane from the Illinois Institute of Technology, and they were discussing the upcoming informational session on the intracortical visual prosthesis, or ICVP for short. The session will be held on Tuesday, October 13th at 2 p.m. For more information, you can visit www.chicagolighthouse.org/ICVP. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a production of Chicago Lighthouse Media and Chris Radio, your information station.